I maybe I do all four this week, but that ain't gonna happen. So we'll just do two, and then we'll do the last two next week. So last week we talked about the first step when you, if you want to, how many really would want to learn how to get into the presence of God? I mean, we know how to do lay me down to sleep prayers, but how many really know how to get into the presence? And I think there is a progression to this, and it all starts with praise. Praise. And people miss that, right? Because they don't want to praise God. They want to take credit. And they're victims. And they think everything's owed them, right? So they don't get it. But the first step is you have to praise Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen, praise is for who God is. And we're going to talk about Thanksgiving in a minute because Thanksgiving is for what He's done. Praise for who He is. Thanks for what He's done. We're going to get into that. So last week we talked about praise, and then we talked about confession. That's another hard one. Nobody wants to admit they're wrong. Come on, I've pastored a long time. Nobody wants to take responsibility for it. It's always someone else's fault. But yet, if we want to come into the presence of the Lord, we need to confess our sins. We need to confess our shortcomings. Come on. And then the third step was lamentation, because after you praise Him for who He is and you admit who you are, huh? One, two. Then at that point, you could pour your heart out. And we talked about lamenting, and it's a term that we don't use a lot anymore, but people get it confused with complaining. Complaining is different. Complaining is crying to God. Lamenting is crying out to God. It's sharing your soul. It's not complaining about your situation. It's just expressing to God what you're going through. How many know He cares and He wants to hear from you? He knows. He knows. He knows. Step four is thanksgiving. Finally, we get to now, after those three steps, after you pour your heart out to God, I think we need to just give Him thanks. If all He's done is save you, you know what? Even if you're not saved, you probably still ought to thank God. Come on. I can think of a lot of things before I was saved that could have went wrong. I mean, I did enough, I could still be locked up. I mean, you know. I just believe God was looking out for me before I ever acknowledged Him. How many agree to that? He was in your life before you brought Him into your life. So we get into Thanksgiving, Psalms 100, and there's so many of these, but let's just read it as an example. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. By the way, that's not a suggestion. Do it. Serve the Lord with gladness, not grumpiness. You notice I'm adding to the scripture, right? Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. Woo! We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. A lot of scripture today. Watch this. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. Boy, if we could just get those four words right. But in everything, say everything, by prayer and supplication mixed with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Don't just go to Him and say, give me this, give me that, give me that. But mix it with thanksgiving. Thank Him not only for what He has done, but just go ahead and thank Him for what He's going to do. You say, well, I don't know. You don't have to know. I know that my life's in his hands. I'm going to be all right. Thank you, Jesus. Come on and give him a praise. Well, hallelujah, glory to God. Praise him. Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is the instruction before they went into the land of Canaan. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Woo! Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Who led you through that great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock. How many have God's provided? Who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. All tests are for your good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. I did this. I earned this. I deserve this. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. Why? That he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Why are people not thankful today? Let me give you three reasons. They're not thankful because they think they deserve it in the first place. That's the least you could do. Number two, maybe they're not thankful because they don't value the gift. We get things from God and we don't even bother to say thank you. We're like the nine lepers that never came back to say thank you. Whew. Either you're not valuing the giver or you're not valuing the gift. How many know we need to value what God gives us and value him as the giver? And number three, people aren't thankful because they think they did it. I did this. Woo, it's all about me. Yeah. 1 Timothy 6 and 6 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment. Lord, where's contentment in this world today? I believe we should be motivated. I believe we can be ambitious to a degree, right? I think we should want more. I think we want to do great things for God. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of ambition, but whenever it gets out of control to where you're not content anymore. I don't know about you, but if God never blessed me again, I have a reason to shout the rest of my life. Please don't take the blessings, but hear what I'm saying. If all he did was save you, why don't you give him glory for the rest of your life? Hallelujah! Oh, praise the Lord. Psalms 106, 106 verse 1 and 2. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For he is good. For all his mercies endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare all his praise? If you really think about it, you could spend the rest of your life praising him. Come on, church. You could spend all your days giving him glory. My God, thank you, Jesus. Psalms 106, save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the Gentiles. Why? To give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, let all the people say, praise the Lord. Giving thanks unto the Lord. How many are with me on this? We need to be like Daniel. Remember Daniel? He prayed 3 times a day, right? Someone said, we need to get something on Daniel. You know, if the only thing they can get on you is that you pray, that's a pretty good deal. And he prayed to a God that wasn't authorized. So they told the king about it. And they said, Daniel, you are forbidden to pray to your God anymore. And if you do, there will be consequences. And Daniel said, okay. Mm-hmm. What did Daniel do? Went home, and he didn't go to the basement. The Bible said, he said, listen, my custom, my commitment is to pray every day 3 times a day and to open the windows and pray towards Jerusalem. He was living in Babylon, right? So he knew where Jerusalem was. Whew. You know, even if you're in captivity, you can pray like you're living in Jerusalem. And he said, so he went right home. I mean, I don't think he gave it another thought, do you? Like, king can do whatever he wants to do. I'm going to pray. I'm going to give God thanks. He didn't get in there and say, oh, God, I'm hiding in the basement today because they're good. I don't want to hear that. No, he opened his window, let her fly. Just prayed like he always prayed. How many believe Daniel was still thankful? Yeah, well, that got him in trouble. But in the end, how many know Daniel was okay? Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. He knew he was in the position he was in because of God. God will put you in good places, and sometimes you got to serve him in the rough places. But he's in charge of my life, and I'm thankful wherever I am. And whatever I'm facing, can I get an amen? It's God. Number 5. This is the 5th one. After giving thanks to God, we can finally get to the place where you can start making requests and begin to ask God for what you need to ask. Didn't Jesus himself say, I already know before you ask. So he's okay with you asking. Psalm 17, I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. This is an example. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand. Oh, you who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. From the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. Listen to the verbs or the adjectives. Which one is it? Whatever. Listen, because we need to look at what is your prayer list look like? Is it all about you? Or I mean, what does it look like? Listen to this. Here's what he prayed. Hear me, show me, love me, save me, keep me, hide me. That's what it was all about. Listen, some things will hinder your prayers. Right? I mean, there's so much we can preach here, but we need to talk just 3 things. Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. You can't sin against God and expect God. You can't hide iniquity. He sees it. So you can't pray when you've offended him. So you need to deal with that first. Can I get an amen? Go back to confession. Number two. 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands. Thank you, Larry. I'm not so sure you want to amen this, but hang on. You probably should have read ahead a little bit. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them. You know who them are. Your wife. Hopefully you only have one. Dwell with them with understanding. Lord, that's hard. Giving honor to the wife. As to the weaker vessel. And weaker, don't get weird there. Just talking physically. How many believe intellectually they're all smarter than us? Amen. And as being heirs together, heirs. Together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Husbands, if for no other reason, treat your wife right, or your prayers will be hindered. I figured I'd at least get an amen from the ladies. God's not going to answer you if you take advantage of the weaker vessel. Well, I'm the man of this house. Well, you can be cut down. Yes, now Larry's with me. So there you go, number two reason. You're not treating your wife right. And really, I think the principle here is whenever you treat anyone wrongly who doesn't always have the power to fight back, God's on the side of the powerless. Mistreating your children, mistreating your employees, mistreating your aged parents. Amen. I'm starting to relate. Come on now. Mistreating people that are powerless. God's the God of the powerless. And you will answer for that. Your prayers will be hindered. Oh, my God, help us. Hallelujah. Third reason, 1 Samuel 28. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him. Why? Because he was full of fear, either by dreams or by the Urim, which the priest would kind of throw the dice and you get a yes or no answer, or the prophets. He wasn't getting a word from God anywhere. Then Saul said to his servants, "Find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servants did. In fact, there was a woman there. Be careful. Sometimes people get desperate. Fear will close heaven. Whatever is not of faith is sin. And when you're full of fear, now I'm not talking about just common feelings of, oh my God, that's, you know, I mean, sometimes you get kind of concerned. But when your fear is such that it shuts down heaven, that's too much. And Saul got desperate. And he said, go find me a witch, basically. Go find me someone who can talk to me. Let me tell you something. The devil will always be willing to talk to you when God's not around. I don't want a word from hell. I want a word from the Lord. And I know you're thinking, well, obviously, Pastor, but the thing is, the devil always gives a good word before the bad word. He always locks you in before he can lock you out. That's just the way, that's the way he travels. How many know what I'm talking about? It's true. My Lord, help us in this place. So that's just three reasons. Psalms 24. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who can come into his presence? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a what? Pure heart. You not want to read it? What? Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully? He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. There it is. There it is. If you want God to hear you, then I think we need to be, I think we need to praise him and recognize who he is. And I think we need to confess our sins. And we need to be honest about how we feel. And when we do that, he will hear from heaven. I don't know about you. I don't really care if the answer is yes, no, maybe, wait. I don't care. As long as I've heard. As long as I know he's answered. I can live with a no if the no's from heaven. Hallelujah. I know it's hard to pull an amen right there, but it's the truth. Because God's no is a blessed thing. God's no probably kept me from a lot of mess. God's no probably saved my hide more than once. Amen. And then there's that wait on me. I can wait all day if I know that it's up to him. It's up to him. Sometimes angels have to be positioned just right. Sometimes things have to fall into place. You know, God's just working. God's working. Things are happening. How many know a lot of times it's all about the timing? It's all about the timing. And we just wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And as you wait on the Lord, you renew your strength. Whew. Yes. No. Wait on me. I can live with it as long as I've heard from heaven. Church, I want to promise you, John 14, he will answer if you'll wait. Let me answer this question because I get this asked sometimes. People say, should I pray about it more than once? And some people say, well, if I pray for it twice, that means I have a lack of faith. No, it's not a lack of faith. It's that you're in a battle. You don't just hit him once because he gets back up. You keep praying about it, but you don't pray out of doubt or fear. You keep praying about the battle because while you're waiting, things are happening. God will show you things in prayer. God will reinforce, God will comfort you, God will strengthen you. He'll give you advice as you go through the process. So keep praying. Don't pray out of a lack or out of doubt, but pray because you're in a battle and pray until God finally answers. That makes sense? Is that helpful to everybody? Praise the Lord. Here's what Jesus said, and we'll close early. You can get back to that 95-degree weather. Some of you are going to stay just for the air conditioning. By the way, we are opening the church the next 3 days. If any of you want to come, even if you have air, you just want to save some money. I mean, that air conditioner is going to run 24/7. So just if you want to come out, we're going to have snacks and TV and back in the fellowship hall. Fellowship, just come on out, spend a few hours in the cool, and we'll be glad to do that. Amen. But anyway, Jesus said this. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. I'll do it. That the Father may be glorified. I'll do it. Not just because I love you, but I want to glorify my dad. I'm going to glorify my Father. If you ask anything in my name, he says it again, I will do it. Well, that's twice he said it. But listen, if you love me, keep my commandments. People say it all the time, I love the Lord, and they sin like the devil. And I will pray the Father, third time, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Whew. The whole purpose of the history of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, once you get this, it'll blow your mind. The whole thing is not about us going to him someday. The whole Bible was written so that he could live with us someday. And that's a powerful thought. Because we always talk about, I'm going to go to heaven someday. No, it's coming to you. He already lives in you. Hello, big deal. He lives in you. Not a building, not a temple. Not some fancy place. I mean, some of you are fancier than others, but listen, the day I got saved, he moved into a wretched place. Hello? When you got saved, what kind of house was he living in? But he came to fix up the place. Woo! Glory to God. He came to fix up the place. Stand with me. Praise the Lord. We're coming to the communion table. I'll give you a chance to worship the Lord there. If you have a prayer request. I am feeling something in my spirit here. Listen. There's some attacks going on in people's minds.